40 seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta. Happy New Year, Nnamdi!
Happy New Year, happy Kwanzaa, Sonny.
Nnamdi, we can't let 2016 go without handing out a few official Sunny Side of Sports boxing awards. Let's begin with the Sunny Side of Sports African Fighter of the Year. Who's your pick?
My pick is Julius the Blue Machine Indongo from Namibia. He pulled one of the big upsets of the year, going all the way to Moscow, taking on the champion. This is his first time to fight outside Africa. Nobody expected him to win. He went against Edward Troifnovsky in his backyard, stopped him in the first round, took the title from him. Also remember, he's undefeated with 21-0 with 11 knockouts. He's in the division that's got big money with champions like Ricky Burns, all that. Big money for the African for 2017, and he's undefeated with the biggest knockout of 2016. So I would call him Sunny Side of Sports African Fighter of the Year.
Nnamdi, it sounds like you're also picking Ndongo for your Sunny Side of Sports Knockout of the Year.
In the boxing world, two knockouts everybody's been talking about. I'm very happy to see two Africans mentioned in this category. The first one is Hassan Ndam from Cameroon, based in France. He knocked out Alfonso Blanco in one round, Sonny. And that was 22 seconds cold out in St. James, France, December 17th. It was a massive right hand. Blanco was out cold. The referee could have counted to a million. He was still stretched out.
I remember you with some critical remarks about Ndam during the Rio Olympics.
Ndam was the first professional boxer to lose in Rio, if you remember that. He looked really bad with amateurs. That just goes to show you that professionals have no business messing with amateurs. He looked really bad, and remember they talked about banning them for 2 years with the pros going to the amateurs? Well, here we go. He was sanctioned for an interim title fight, and the WBA got paid. That's why he scored that big, massive knockout, and now he's the interim WBA middleweight champion.
So Nnamdi, does Ndam get your knockout of the year?
Sonny, it's a tie between Ndam and Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo from Namibia. Remember now, Julius Ndongo went to Moscow and knocked out Edward Drobnitsky in 42 seconds, which means overhand left hook, and the champion went out cold, which means two Africans scored knockout of the year, 22 seconds for Hassan Ndam and 42 seconds for Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo.
Impressive knockouts, no question about it, Nnamdi. Okay, one more award to hand out, Nnamdi. Who is your Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year?
Prospect of the Year goes to Isaac Royal Storm Dogbo. He's a 2012 Olympian from Ghana. He went to the Olympics at the age of 17. 16-0 with 10 knockouts. He's a WBO International Super Bantamweight Champion. He's only 22. All his fights been in Ghana, but his recent fight was in New Zealand. And we believe as a Super Bantamweight featherweight, he'll be a force to be reckoned with in that division. So this goes to Isaac Royal Storm Dogbo from Ghana.
Namdi Muhammad Ali's death this year at the age of 74, the biggest death in boxing and probably also in the sports world overall this year. Many tributes poured in after Ali's passing. One of them came from longtime boxing promoter Bob Arum, who said Ali's influence went far beyond the boxing ring.
I think when you talk about Muhammad Ali, as great an athlete, a great boxer as he was, the greatest boxer of all time, he means so more to the United States and to the world. He was a transformative figure in our society. People can't imagine, looking back in the 60s, how things were for African-American people. They were fighting in the southern states and border states for basic rights to use a bathroom, to sit at a lunch counter, to stay at a non-segregated hotel. And in the North, things weren't so much better. The opportunity for African-Americans was limited. African-Americans were expected not to speak up, not to raise their voices in protest. And then Muhammad Ali came along. And while Martin Luther King was talking sense and talking about progress that could be made in his soft-spoken way, Ali, with his big mouth, was thundering and demanding rights for African-American people and standing up for what was right. So when I look back at his life, and I was blessed to call him a friend and spent a lot of time with him, it's hard for me to talk about his exploits in boxing because as great as they were, they paled in comparison to the impact that he had on the world.
Muhammad Ali will surely be remembered by many boxing fans, Namdi. Other boxers of note worth mentioning this year who died, Namdi?
We cannot forget Aaron the Hawk Pryor. He had some great fights with Alexis Agüero on TV. Action fighter. We'll also remember Kimbo Slice, mixed martial arts fighter that went into pro boxing, suddenly died in Glasgow. Michael Towell, after being knocked out in the fifth round, died in the hospital. We can also remember some of the guys that went into coma, are still in coma with broken jaw, broken rib. We are in the hurt business. You can get killed in the ring. So that's why it's very important if you're going to go into the fight game, you must be in shape. You must believe in what you want to do because if you go half-stepping, you can die. You can get killed.
Namdi, if I can remember one more former boxing champion, I remember you described him as a fan favorite, Bobby Chacon.
Oh, Sonny, how can we forget? I live here in Southern California. I witnessed the big draw this cat had with the fans coming out. Remember, the Mexican fans, they like fights, you know. If you can fight, you're a warrior. They'll come out and pay to see you. This cat was pulling in huge, huge numbers in terms of fans coming out. And fan-friendly TV loved him. But the way he passed on, died alone right here in Southern California, all that millions gone. A lesson for all the young fighters in Africa listening, it's very important to have the right team working with you.
Namdi, you've always been real upfront that boxing is a dangerous game. These guys are in the hurt business, and a guy that recently got hurt, Bernard Hopkins, you were ringside for his farewell fight on December 17th against Joe Smith Jr. Tell our VOA listeners what happened.
I've never been this scared. I go to fights every time. But watching him in the first round, right there, I knew that, man, it's going to be a dangerous fight because he had nothing. He had no business being in that ring. The way he was knocked out of the ring and the way he landed with his head on the floor, it was a scary night, considering the fact that it was a rainy night in Southern California, going from your car to the arena, freezing, and then you go into the arena, half-filled arena, frozen too, and then you get to see this terrible fight. It was just a night I would like to forget.
Namdi, what was the reaction of the fans when they saw the 51-year-old Hopkins get knocked through the ropes?
the fans wanted him to win. The television executives wanted him to win. The boxing commission wanted him to win. The referee, the judges. Everybody was just like shocked. Like the whole arena, like you, it looked like you're in a cold fridge. Like what just happened? This man knocked out of the ring and landed with his head on the floor. It was a scary night. Going back and looking at the fight, the shocking part was that one of the judges had Bernard Hopkins ahead by 67 to 66. As far as I'm concerned, he didn't win no round.
After getting knocked to the floor below Nnamdi, Hopkins seemed to discredit Smith.
He said it was a push. It was no push. It was like explosive right hand that took him out of the ring, you know. You know, what really shocked me after the fight, that he came for the press conference and he was just still having this swagger. Like, you know, dude, you just been knocked out cold. What are you telling? It was a push. It was no push. It was a combination of having you knocked out of the ring. Thank God you didn't land with your head on the sharp object, because we'll be talking about you heading to ICU. So this is a man that has made more than $40 million. He had no reason to be fighting a 27-year-old guy in the ring. He didn't misuse his money. He's a co-owner of Golden Boy Promotions with Oscar De La Hoya. How much can you eat? How much do you have? What do you really need? You know, if it's not the ego, there was no need for the fight. And I blame the television, HBO, for giving him the money to fight that fight, because there was no need for that fight. It was just, what I would say, going out with a bang.
Well, speaking of bangs, Nnamdi, this fight, when it was announced, made a big bang. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko, arguably the biggest fight of 2017. It's set for April 29th at Wembley Stadium in London. What have the ticket sales been like?
60,000 tickets sold in the first period of ticket sales. The second batch will go on sale January 16th. We're talking about a stadium that holds 90,000 people. The projections are incredible.
What are the live gate projections?
We are looking at a live gate that will bring in close to $15 million, Sonny. Then when you throw in the pay-per-view, because this fight is in the UK, it's a pay-per-view, then you throw in the foreign TV rights, money coming in from Showtime Television in America, sponsorship. This fight will bring in more than $60 million, Sonny. Bread on the table for everybody.
If you want to go to that fight at Wembley, can you give us a breakdown on the ticket prices?
The lowest is $50, and the highest at the ringside is like $5,000. That's on paper. But if the brokers buy it all up, the $5,000 can go for $10,000. You're lucky if you can get the $50 tickets.
Nnamdi, let's stick with the heavyweights. Deontay Wilder, he is set to get back in the ring on February 25th. Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
The opponent is Andrei Wawrzyk from Poland, and the question becomes, who is this guy?
Good question.
We've been accusing Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber, of fighting a whole bunch of bombs, you know. This is a good example. You're fighting a guy in your backyard, February 25, Birmingham, Alabama, with television, and you go and look at the guy's resume. Who has he fought? I mean, he beat Francois Botha from South Africa, big deal. Alexander Popkin beat him. But who else? We can't find nobody. So Deontay Wilder will look good on TV. He will knock this cat out, and we all scream, okay, bring on Anthony Joshua. That's all the setup is for.
So if Wilder wins in February, you project that he would possibly face Anthony Joshua later in 2017?
Later in 2017, because if you still have Tyson Fury, the former champion, just back in the gym training. His first fight will be in April. A fight between the winner of Vladimir Klitschko and Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury, that's a huge fight. That's a monster fight. Then you have David Haye. So you have all these big money fights before Deontay Wilder. And if Deontay Wilder looks really bad February 25th in Birmingham, Alabama, nobody's going to break down the door to see him and Anthony Joshua. So he has to knock out this Polish guy. Anthony Joshua must defeat and knock out Vladimir and then finish off Tyson Fury and David Haye. And then, come on, man, the fight right here in the U.S. with Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua, you will pay to see that fight.
Namdi, another possible big fight in 2017, Canelo versus Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. How about an update on those two fighters?
We've been waiting for this fight, Sonny, and we just got a big announcement. Canelo now is in negotiations with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. for a fight at 165 pounds. This is a guy, Canelo, that said, I cannot make 160. That's why I'm running away from Triple G. You ask yourself, well, why go take on another Mexican warrior at 165? That goes to tell you that we don't think that Canelo wants to tackle Triple G. But who knows? It depends on how he reacts at 165 against Julio Cesar Chavez. Then we'll see what will happen come fall 2017. But it looks good. That fight can still happen with Canelo and Triple G.
Will Triple G have a tune-up fight before possibly facing Canelo?
Sonny, Triple G is set for one big, huge fight coming up March 18th, Madison Square Garden against Danny Jacobs. Four belts on the line, the IBF, the IBO, the WBA, the WBC belt on the line. And Danny Jacobs is a local guy from New York City. This will sell out the Madison Square Garden. And I believe after this fight with Danny Jacobs, we will then know if Triple G will be ready for Canelo, because this is a tough fight for Triple G. If he comes out knocking out Danny Jacobs, the Canelo fight is a big one.
How about some of these top African fighters, Namdi? You mentioned Julius Ndongo earlier. What do they have planned for 2017?
Well, Ricky Barnes, who is the WBA, the junior welterweight champion, is in talks with the Blue Machine, Ndongo, for a unification clash. Ricky Barnes will put up the WBA belt. Ndongo will put up his own IBF belt. And Ricky Barnes is a huge draw in Scotland. So homeboy from Africa is about to bank. It's a big fight in Europe. They should be able to finish it up and then sign it early next week. It's a big fight, unification fight, and I would like to see that fight. That's a fight with Ricky Barnes and the Blue Machine Ndongo.
Another flamboyant African fighter, Namdi, the Lion Bogere from Uganda. What's he have planned?
2017 is a big year for the Lion. The Lion has money behind him. And if a Lion has money behind him, you better watch out, you know. The Lion has a multimillionaire behind him. I'm talking in terms of Floyd Mayweather Promotions. So Floyd Mayweather can put up a world title fight for Sheriff Bogere. We look for Bogere to challenge for the lightweight or super lightweight title in 2017. He has a style friendly for television, and the fans love his entrance, and he can fight. So homeboy from Kampala, 2017 is your year.
Thanks, Namdi. And I hope 2017 is your year, too, as well as a great year for all of our Voice of America listeners. That's our undisputed and reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year to you too, Sonny. We're coming out of the end of 2016, fast approaching.
Still a few days left in 2016. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, we talked the other day about all the retirements that have gone on in 2016, and we have another late addition to the list, and that's Ana Ivanović, the Serbian tennis player, 2008 French Open champion, former world number one, announcing her retirement at the age of 29. Very young to retire, but had suffered a series of health setbacks over the years, had fallen out of form, and so she made the decision to retire. And how she went about this was that she actually put out on her social media accounts the other day, she said, "My dear fans and supporters, please tune into my Facebook page at 6 p.m. UK time, where I'll be sharing something important with you live." And she actually did a Facebook Live video where she announced her retirement. And then she went to go on her other social media channels to put out a statement, a longer statement, saying, "After 13 years of playing tennis professionally, I've taken the extremely difficult decision to retire from competitive tennis. and talking about some of the setbacks that she's faced, saying that she can only, if she can only play up to her high standards, she can't no longer do that. It's time to move on. So obviously with the health issues, deciding rather than trying to struggle through that to retire. And all of the tennis world is praising her and wishing her well. We have from current world number one, Angelique Kerber, saying, "I will miss one of my best friends on tour. You've had an incredible tennis career. Best wishes for the exciting new chapter." Former world number one, 22-time Grand Slam champion Serena Williams says, "Ana Ivanovic, my goodness, I will miss your smile. All my love." And that actually is a common thread that we kept seeing as I looked through these tweets, the smile. Chris Everett, the former champion, I think 18-time Grand Slam champion, said that smile, that grace, that forehand, that class. Ana Ivanovic, tennis will miss you, but what a rich life you have ahead of you. And, of course, the great Billie Jean King saying, "Ana Ivanovic, best wishes to your future endeavors. We'll miss seeing that spectacular smile. Once a champion, always a champion." So someone with a lot of friends among the current and former tennis players, and known for that big beaming smile that she exhibited on the court so many times and so many wins that she had in her career.
Good luck to Ana Ivanovic in retirement. 2016 has been a great year for LeBron James. He recently was named the Sports Illustrated magazine's Sports Person of the Year. And I understand LeBron has some more hardware for his trophy case.
Absolutely. We talked earlier in the week about Simone Biles being named the Associated Press Sportswoman of the Year, the Female Athlete of the Year. Well, LeBron James has been announced as the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year, capturing that honor with 24 out of 59 first-place votes. LeBron actually previously won the award in 2013, but having won the championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers, their first ever NBA championship this year, I think it's pretty well deserving that he that he gets the award. However, there is some controversy because finishing in second place is Michael Phelps with 16 votes and third Usain Bolt with 9 votes. Two guys who are not used to finishing second and third.
That's for sure.
But there's a little bit of debate on social media. Maybe Michael Phelps should have gotten it. People saying his storied career, that he did so well this year coming out of retirement and at his age to play or to swim as well as he did and earn those gold medals at the Rio Olympics. So there is a little bit back and forth on that as to who should have gotten it. But as far as Cavs fans and LeBron's fans are concerned, it's a well-deserved honor. The Cleveland Cavaliers tweeting out, "Congrats, King James." And a lot of fans noting that he is the king of 2016 with this NBA championship and this honor and all the other honors that he's received. So a really good year for LeBron. It's worth noting, too, in fourth place was Chris Bryant, the third baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Of course, the Chicago Cubs breaking that 108-year World Series drought. He came in fourth place. So he was represented there as well. So really, all the best of the best among male athletes represented among these four.
You mentioned LeBron. You mentioned the Cubs. I think I'd have to put the Cavaliers and the Cubs in my top sports stories, at least U.S.-based sports stories for 2016.
Yeah, those are the big ones for sure. I think that, you know, like we said, the Cavs winning the first time ever, I think it was more than 50 years that the city of Cleveland had a championship, and then certainly with Chicago, and even with the Cleveland Indians going to the World Series, getting there for the first time in a number of years, trying to get their first World Series in 68 years, made for a thrilling series, and one I know Dan Friedel talked about earlier in the week that I think is going to go down in the history books as one of the best ever.
We got a few more seconds left in the show. Andrew, anything else trending?
Yeah, there's a viral video making the rounds on the internet, and I urge everybody to go check it out because I can't do it justice. But this man, Jamani Swanson, he's a little person. He's only 4'5" tall. It's about 134 centimeters. Dribbling the basketball, crosses left, crosses right in front of a woman in the crosswalk in the street, and she takes a tumble into the crosswalk. All in good fun. They took a picture afterwards, but that woman, Jillian Jordan, and Jamani Swanson, both now viral video stars. So check that out on social media. If you search those names, you can find that fun little video.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll hear back from you on Friday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the December 29th holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States remains committed to protecting religious minorities, their communities, and their culture worldwide. This is an important expression of the values of the United States, in that we want to protect diversity of thought and belief, said Knox Thames, Special Advisor for Religious Minorities in the Near East and South Central Asia. This effort, said Special Advisor Thames, is of great importance in Syria and Iraq, where ISIL or Daesh seek to wipe out much of civilizational history.
In that work, we saw where Daesh was committing genocidal acts against Christians, Yazidis, and Shia Muslims. At the same time that they were killing people, they were also trying to erase any evidence that they ever existed, destroying their churches, their mosques, their cemeteries. And if we were going to defeat Daesh militarily, we also need to take steps to protect the places that matter to these people that they're also trying to exterminate. And so from that work, we started focusing on protecting the cultural heritage of religious minorities.
The U.S. State Department partnered with the Smithsonian Institution to engage religious minority groups directly, providing them with training and information on preserving cultural sites and objects that are at risk. Some of these preventative methods are simple but effective, said Special Advisor Thames.
There was a training that went on in northern Syria where churches were trained about how to stack sandbags in front of ancient frescoes and murals, so that if a mortar shell were to land, the explosive force would be dissipated by the sandbags. It wouldn't hurt the mural. And they had these very striking before and after pictures of a room full of sandbags. The bomb tragically hit. The sandbags are exploded, but the mural is fine.
Trainings also include information on protecting movable artifacts by creating digital documentation of the items that can be stored remotely. The Smithsonian Institute has created a special outreach program in Erbil, Iraq, that is dedicated to the effort. These communities that are so unique, that create this mosaic of culture and religion, said Special Advisor Thames, they can be pieced together, and protecting their common culture can be a way to do that.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.